Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Manz AG conference call regarding financial figures 3 months 2021. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode. The floor will be open for questions following the presentation. Let me now turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Martin Drasch, CEO, and Mr. Manfred Hochleitner, CFO.
Thank you very much. Also, a warm welcome from my side to our Q1 financial figures and also the outlook and the more details to the business segments we will provide to you. Also, from our side, the first quarter was also influenced again by Corona pandemics and also the stop in several supplier areas, which caused some problems. I will go on in this direction, in this detail, a little bit later in the meeting, and I will now hand over to Manfred Hochleitner. Please, Manfred, go ahead with the financial figures.
Yeah, good morning also from my side. Thank you, Martin. So I will briefly lead you through the income statement of the first 3 months 2021, and we see that revenues came out at roughly 51 million euros, so roughly 17% lower than in the first 3 months 2020. The main reason was that independent of the higher revenues in the energy storage segment, these revenues could not compensate the temporary shortfall in all other segments. The reason for these shortfalls was that due to starts of new orders, at the beginning of the year, the contribution of these new orders was lower to the top line of the P&L than what we have seen in the first 3 months 2020. However, and this is very important to mention here, the perspectives remain very positive based on both excellent market development, mainly in the e-mobility sector, and on based on our still strong order backlog of more than 170 million euros. The other operating income includes the positive one-time effect of the sale of shares in Talus in an amount of roughly 14.3 million euros. And aside from this, the main impacts come from gains on foreign exchange rates, release of provisions and subsidies. As already pointed out in the past conference calls, we see that the material cost ratio is stable at roughly 55%. This is a little bit higher than at the end of March 2020, but overall we see that our optimization measures internally are becoming more and more sustainable and lead to a stable material cost ratio at around this 55%. The slight increase of personal expenses is mainly driven by regular annual salary increases. Aside from this, there is nothing special in these expenses. Other operating expenses are mainly influenced by losses on exchange rates, increase of provisions and IT costs and travel expenses, and remain more or less stable compared to the first 3 months 2020. There is a new line also, or you know the line already, it's the share of loss of associates, but different to the first 3 months 2020. This shows now our minority stake in the company CADIS, which we have acquired in the first 3 months 2021. And maybe you remember that this company is our new approach into the digital printing industry. Based on these items, we achieved a very strong EBITDA of 14 million euros. Main driver, of course, as I mentioned, was the positive impact out of the share of Talus, and an EBIT of 11.5 million euros. Consequently, the EBIT ratio came out at 21.4%, and the ratio for the strong positive net result of 10.3 million is roughly 19.1%. Having a look on the different segments, we see that solar, as Martin just pointed out, is still impacted by the customer-related standstill of the construction work. So very low revenues and, of course, also significant negative EBIT result here. In the electronics segment, we see a subdued start to the year in the display area, although this is currently improving slightly. In the e-mobility area, the current order for a cell contacting system is completed, while the follow-up order has not yet made a significant contribution to the revenues in the first quarter. So this is why revenues came down to now 19.8 million euros, and also the EBIT is now at minus 2 million euros. Good news from our strategically most important business unit, energy storage. This segment shows a continuously growing revenue contribution and consequently also a 6-time higher EBIT than in the first 3 months of 2020. So this follows exactly, as we said, our strategic focus on this very healthy growth market of electromobility. Contract manufacturing came down by almost or by roughly 5 million euros. This is due to changes in the customer structure of this segment, and EBIT is significantly higher than the revenues, but this is of course driven by the positive impact out of the sale of the shares in Talus. The service segment is more or less on the same level as at the end of March 2020, so there is still no significant contribution from the lines which we have just ramped up, but we expect that this will grow further in the future. Looking at the balance sheet, we see a further improvement of all KPIs related to the balance sheet. So the equity ratio, of course, driven by the positive net result, improved to now almost 40%, so very healthy percentage rate now. And in parallel, the net working capital came down by roughly 18 million euros, also mainly due to the sale of shares in Talus. And also due to the increase of cash, our net debt improved now strongly to now minus 18.5 million euros. That means our liquid funds are significantly higher than our interest-bearing liabilities. Aside from that, nothing special in the balance sheet. If we have some further questions on that, we can come back to that in our Q&A session. Looking at the cash flow, we see that due to the slow start in the year, our cash flow from operating activities is negative at minus 14.2 million euros, mainly driven by increases in our inventories and other assets, but it's still significantly better than the first quarter 2020. At the same time, we see that the positive cash impact of the sale of shares of Talus in the cash flow from investing activities, and we used part of this money also to reduce some financial liabilities, so the cash flow from financing activities is at minus 15.9 million euros. So at the end of the first quarter, I think pretty good news on our cash situation. We ended up with a strong cash position of now almost 81 million euros in the group, and this gives us, of course, cash-wise a good start into the new year. With this overview, I hand now back to Martin Drasch for further details of our segments. Thank you so far.
Thank you, Manfred. So please let me start with the segment solar. As said in my introduction, we are also a little bit influenced still by the pandemic situation and the travel restrictions, which is the main topic here. So as of today, we are still not able to travel to China, or at least only under very hard conditions with quarantine times of up to 4 weeks, and also still very hard to get the necessary invitation letters from our customers. So mainly no change in this situation in the first quarter compared to end of 2020. Unfortunately, for sure, we are still discussing with the customer how to move on or how to find the negotiation on the ongoing projects, how we can stop them in this direction to have a clear base for the future and a clear restart for potential, then also from the topics we are discussing with them, how then a restart could look like. But this is still ongoing, no white smoke here in this area, unfortunately. And therefore, as Manfred stated, the revenues and as well the outcome is under our expectations, and clearly we have to improve this in future. To have a little bit a look ahead, what we are doing is, as you have seen, we get the funding from the IPCEI, from the European Union, for the EUPATIN project, and all our employees in the segment solar are now working from start of Q2 on this project, so we will see here then a change as well in the numbers, and this will also have a strong support for the future battery technology FBT department. We have started now to handle this project and to have further developments and research in this area. And as this team of Solar is very experienced and also can have here a clear benefit based on their laser experience and also on the turnkey applications and experience we have get there in the solar business, this will have also a huge support for our battery clear strategy in this direction, as this is also demand in this area. In parallel, we also drive forward the diversification and also the strategic new projects and tasks and as well technologies we have actually under review. This will take some for the weeks and months, but also here clearly we have a clear target to go on then with the solar segment and with the technologies we have developed in the last years in this department to find here new markets and new customers which are interested in these technologies. In the segment electronics, we see a declining business. We already addressed this in the last calls. In Asia mainly, here we still see that the business for display and these the related machines is going down. There is already over capability in this area visible. This is now coming back a little bit, and also we see that our new technologies we have developed from FOPLP and IC components find now really interest on the customers, also on the fairs. We see a good approach there and also a high interest from different customers who want to invest in this area. And I'm sure that we will see here also soon an order intake for the FOPLP machines, coating machines we have developed there. This is in the right direction. In the electronic devices area, we saw a decline in earnings. This is related to the additional expenses to the aggravated overall circumstances during the final acceptance in our CCS line. This is automotive related, and we underestimated a little bit the circumstances and as well the difficulties in the SAT process under full production. This was somehow a surprise for the company, but also now lessons learned. The good news is that we have received the SAT, so this is stopped now, and we will implement this in the lessons learned for future project in this area. Good story here is that as well, the further orders we receive from this customer are on track. For sure, also here some difficulties in regards to chips and all the related difficulties in the supply chain, but so far we are here still on track, and therefore I think this business for CCS is going really strong in future and is also developing very well. And with the experience we saw now in the last weeks, this will help us also to avoid such obstacles in the future. Coming now to our segment energy storage, for sure this is really our main driver. This is a clear strategic focus, and as I said, we are now also concentrating all our resources on this important and really, really also for the future perspective, really important business segment we have in front of us. Also, you see this in the revenues compared to last year's. This is really a good increase, and also the resources we have spent there and the outcome in the technologies we have seen the last years was a really good invest, which now pays back. And I think also strategic-wise, we made a good approach. You saw that we have now this cooperation ongoing with Coop. And this is also from a high interest in all areas. We see a lot of good feedback and a high interest, especially from the OEM, but also from the tier one area in this cooperation and in combination with Yinghe, which we announced already 2 years ago. We are now the only one in Europe who can completely from coating until pack assembly supply a turnkey line. And with the support from our colleagues of Solar, with the competences we have in here, I think we have really a good foundation to now handle these upcoming projects in future. As I said before, we have also now started and established the FBT, the Future Battery Technology Department, in our organization. This is specially based then for the EuBatIn project, the IPCI, which we now get last week the official notification above 70 million of funding ratio only here in Germany. We will get another part in Italy as well. And then we have more than 100 million fundings to develop then the next generation of battery machines and equipment and develop this in the direction to the needs of the e-mobility, but also for the rest of the industries. I think based on our setup we have here and the interest we see in the market, this is a really good setup we have developed here, and as I said as well, interest from the different areas of the market is huge. To the segment contract manufacturing, you see that we have there a decline of the revenues. This is related to the big customer we had here in Slovakia, which has changed its direction. And we are working here clearly on really finding, let's say, more candidates which have a broader revenue base, which we can then put into our Slovakian entity in this direction. There are interesting customers available. For sure, in this phase of the pandemic, it's always hard to convince customers to outsource their production. But I think the customers we are talking here, they are really in a growth market area as well, and looks really promising that we will come back in the next quarters to a same level like we had in 2020. Clearly also that the EBIT contribution from the TELUS, like Manfred said, was a good approach. In parallel, we started as well the contract manufacturing in Asia and especially in China. Also here we see really good developments. There is a high interest from Chinese customers with our capabilities to do assemblies also in the semi area in a clean room where we are specialized. We have a good start of first project, good success of the first machines, which get the FAT and SAT from our customers. So really on short notice, we are having here the same base and the same technology and know-how available like in Slovakia. And I think in the Chinese market, this is from high interest to set up something similar like we had with TELUS in Taiwan in the future as well in China. In the segment service, like mentioned before, we are here on track so far, for sure on a low level, but as this is really due to the installed base, which we will build up now with the plants like in the CCS system and the other battery technologies which are now in the processing, for sure after the warranty time, this will then be handed over to service department, and they can then really generate the necessary revenues by supporting our customers to do the maintenance and as well other service tasks which are here then addressed to the service department. So far to the service, and then coming to the outlook. As you have seen, the order intake is on a healthy level. Also take into account that the first quarter was very difficult, especially for our Asian business, and also some customers were quite reluctant to make investments due to the pandemic situation. As well, the supply chain, like I mentioned in the beginning, it's a really big headache for the OEM and the Tier 1 companies. They really shift a lot of resources out of purchasing to hunt for parts, to not have a stop in their production lines. And this is then really a little bit of a problem for us because some of the planned POs were shifted 2 to 3 months, but still there, and we have really good chances to get these orders, but this was for sure not visible and calculated in the beginning. But nevertheless, we are in close contact to these customers and really supporting them in all areas we can. And nevertheless, I think this will change then in Q2 tremendously, especially in the area of energy storage and electronics. That's also where we are have our focus on. As you can see, we are now coming back in electronics, plus 16% compared to last year, 3 months in electronics area, and as well in energy storage. Also there is a plus, and I think, as I said, in Q2 the numbers will look quite different. On the order backlog side, you see for solar, for sure, much too slow revenue generation, but as I explained, due to the situation in China, in electronics on the same level like before, and on energy storage, we have a really good order backlog of 19 million. Contract manufacturing a little bit behind, but this is rolling business, so this can be really changed soon if we have the right customers in place. And overall, with 170 million, of backlog in the total group, we will see us really very well positioned to then generate the revenues like planned. So for our guidance, we stick to the guidance like we announced it a few weeks ago. So we see a moderate increase in revenues compared to 2020. The EBITDA margin will be in the upper positive single-digit percentage range, and the EBIT margin will be in the low to mid positive single-digit percentage. For sure, we are hoping also as well that the impact of Corona will stop now when enough vaccine is there, but for sure, as this is not foreseeable from today's, this is then really including not future influences out of the COVID-19 pandemic so far. This so far from our side to the business segments and the financial numbers, and now we are looking forward to receive your questions. Thank you.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 9* on your telephone keypad. Please press 9* on your telephone keypad if you'd like to ask a question. I repeat, please press 9* if you'd like to ask a question. And the first question comes from Mr. Florian Fallschifter. Your line is open.
Yeah. Morning, everyone. Morning. And a couple of questions from my side first. Four from my side for now. First one would be on the solar segment. And let's just assume a worst case scenario where the sixth technology doesn't really, or the sixth product, turnkey fab, doesn't really play a role anymore. What revenue would you think? So what revenue levels and growth perspective do you see in the laser scribing and the other potential applications you're going after? And what margin would be possible in that area if you have shifted around all the workers accordingly?
So we have an outlook already there. And from our point of view with the technologies we have in solar, laser scribing, especially on sheet metal, but also on glass or brittle materials, we see a business opportunity of 20 to 40 million, depending then in which area we really can step in. But there are also other technologies and other areas where we have a deep look now inside these technologies for the further coming years. And also there we see potential for this business unit with the technologies within in the next 2 to 3 years of 50 to 80 million.
Okay, so the 20 to 40 and 50 to 80, that's combined 3-year figures, or would this be an annual potential?
This would be from, let's say, today's perspective, if we have a shift of technologies, not taking into account the new topics we need then maybe to change our machine concepts and these topics. So this would be midterm. This 50 to 80 and the 20 to 40 would be on short term.
Okay, but still on an aggregated basis.
Yes.
Okay, that's clear. Thanks. And for the electronics segment, you said the cell contacting systems, the follow-up order from TE Connectivity, didn't contribute in Q1. Is it fair to assume that it will come back? So the cell contacting system contribution will come back in the second quarter too, or is it only from an orders perspective that we will see a relief in Q2?
Oh, it's really related to POC and that we had some late deliveries of our suppliers, especially laser equipment and motion drives and such topics were really a problem to get them on time, and this shifted then a little bit our assembly tasks and the finalization of this pre-assemblies in Slovakia as well here in Reutlingen, but we are pulling this in, so we will see these revenues in Q2. And as well, so far we are on track. We are also getting the support here from TE and also from the end customers to accelerate these suppliers and to get really here priority number one, as this is really very important that these cell contacting systems can be produced in time, not to endanger the ramp-up of new serial cars of the end customer.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So from a current perspective, beginning of May, you still are confident for these contributions in Q2?
Yes.
Great. Then on the energy storage segment, is it fair to assume that it will be a rather back-end loaded year and that Q3 might be the best quarter?
What we see as of today, as I said, there are some shifts, especially from the OEMs due to this really big problems they have in their production lines, not to have a stop in these lines, and they really shifted all of their purchasing guys to really hunt IC components, but also raw material for plastics and all these topics. So I'm in close contact with these guys, and they have some double work now. They really work 24 hours a day, and they really priorize now, okay, the POs is not the highest priority. We will shift them, and we will see from our perspective the really big gigawatt projects we are working actually on. There will be Q3, Q4, hopefully no further delay on them. But this is really looking promising, but nevertheless also in Q2 we are really working here with some interest or on some interesting projects which will have a good impact also in Q2.
Okay, so on the gigawatt project you mentioned that might come in Q3, Q4, that's order intake or already actual revenues in these projects?
As normal in project business, we first get the POs and then we need to prepare to align with customer. Then it's engineering where it's a lower POC, and then if we then have the bill of materials in the SAP and processing them, then we can generate the necessary revenue. So this will be a little bit delayed. Some smaller part of the revenues for a gigawatt in the Q3, Q4 will be in 2021, but most of this POC will then be 2022, and furthermore, depending on the size, yeah. Also there we have really their lead times in the components, and also the delivery time is between 18 and 20 months for gigawatt line.
Great. And my last question for now before I jump back to the queue. Part of that is already answered, but The bigger EV factory announcements, the order intakes you would expect by the end of 2021, and then a lot of revenue contribution from that 2022, and then a continuous stream of bigger gigawatt factory orders. So
yes.
Is that how we can see it?
Yes. That's how we see it. That's what we get mirrored from the customers and also from the big OEMs. They have this as a target to keep on going their story of over 200 gigawatt in 2025 ready for production. This is also a feasible timeline from our perspective with the actual situation of Corona and also shortage on some components. This is still reasonable, but needs to be also well prepared and needs the support of the end customer, not to have too many changes. So for me, this really sounds feasible, and that's how we also balance it.
Okay, and then maybe last follow-up. How many projects would you consider to have on hand, big projects, gigawatt hour projects, by the end of 2021?
If it's a wish, it's more than three. If I'm realistic, I think 1 to 2 would be really also already be a good success.
All right, great. Then thanks for now, and I jump back to you.
Thank you.
Okay, then the next question comes from Holger Schmidt. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions here. The first question is on the contract manufacturing business. I mean, stripping out the book gain from the sale of your stake in Talos Manufacturing, I think the operating margin was around 10%. Is this a sustainable level going forward, or how should we think about the future prospects with regard to profitability in this segment?
So if we really compare the Talos business, which was a joint venture with LEM, as you know, I think yes, on a growth level, if we find somebody similar like LAM for our Chinese business in the midterm, this is a target which is achievable. Our normal contract manufacturing business, which we do with others, where we just get bill of material, have no further cooperation ongoing, it will not be possible to reach 10%. So it will be, at the end of the day, a mix between both. But as we so far have no second Thales, we are just working on the normal contract manufacturing on a lower margin base.
Okay, and then the second question is with regard to your electronic segment. Could you give us an indication or an update on your project pipeline that you see here in this business?
You talk about electronic components, so the display business, or you talk about the devices business?
The overall electronic segment. I know that there are some sub-segments, but I mean the overall electronic segment.
So then I concentrate on the big, let's say, opportunities we see. So as I mentioned, the FOPLP business with vertical coatings is of high interest, actually. So this IC substrate business is on a growth path as much more is demanded than actually available in production capabilities. And this FOPLP is, for me, a good technology to produce chips on a lower cost base, and therefore we see a huge interest there. This can compensate some of the revenues that we have expected out of display. Display is going down. This will be business between 20 and 30 million, and we need to compensate this with 15 to 20 million out of this FOPLP business and also automation business we have in there to really come back to the level like we have seen in the last years, around 70 to 80 million. And in devices, it's quite interesting as there is a lot of, requests from tier one companies related to CCS system, but also for IC assembly. And also in the e-mobility segment, there are a lot of assembly tasks around the battery system, which needs to be performed. There is an increasing demand and ongoing projects and really increases of production needs and production capacities on orders we have already in hand.
Okay, thank you. Then with regard to the energy storage business, in the last call you mentioned the project pipeline with a total amount of 700 to 800 million. I think this is still valid, or has it changed over the last 4 weeks?
No, have not changed. It's still valid. Like I said, a little bit shifted due to the actual situation, but all projects are still valid. And also further leads coming through us, mainly also with the really good start of cooperation with Coop. The combination of our sources here in sales make really, really good effort, and there is already increasing demands coming out of this new opportunity from the market, as they now really see, okay, there's somebody there we can really put our let's say, project on and can at least think about to handle this as a turnkey solution and the other capabilities and resources available. So this is really only what we have in our CRM system. This is not combined with what Coop also in his pipeline has available. So it's ongoing and it's developing very promising.
The last question is also with regard to the energy storage business. I mean, there was the news from Volkswagen. They plan to build these 6 plants here in Europe with 40 gigawatt hours per factory. Mm. If you would be assigned with the total order for the production solutions here, what kind of order intake would it have?
this number is so tremendous high. So we calculate, and this is just a rough number, but this is depending then on the mix, this is depending on the cell format, this is also depending on the cell type, but for a cell assembly for a gigawatt, we talk about between 35 and 50 million just for equipment. There is no turnkey and other related topics. And if you then have to take additionally the coating, which is in front, and a module assembly, which is then the next step of the battery manufacturing, you can assume about what you talk if you talk about then just for Volkswagen for 240 gigawatt hours.
So what you mentioned now is in relation to 1 gigawatt hour.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
But very roughly, yeah. Don't.
Yeah, roughly.
Don't put the finger on me because this is really related, and at the end of the day, really to the technologies which are in. But to give you a rough feeling for that one.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, then the next question comes from Zafa Rutska. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my question. I have two questions left. The first one is on your funding from the EU. You will receive around 100 million or slightly above 100 million over the next 6 years for these R&D projects. So my question is, what will be your own funding contribution to this project, and what can we expect for your R&D spending in the next years? Do you have a targeted R&D ratio which you can share with us?
I cannot share in detail with you, but I can tell you so much so far that we are just working now on agreements and contracts with the other participants in this IPCEI project. And this is then depending who is bringing what, and there are also, let's say, interested parties which are not in this IPCEI program, but they want to benefit out of these developments we are approaching. And we have our portfolio now ready, so we know in which battery technology we want to achieve which KPIs, and this is from interest of these partners or, let's say, potential future customers. And if they want to have it, they have to give something for it, and this is then also, let's say, the question which is still open, how much R&D and how much cost we have to invest into this IPCEI project. The other part is then if there are two parties out of this project cooperating together to achieve, and it's the target of this IPCEI Eupatin project, to have a mass production line in gigawatt scale ready for all three technology, meaning pouch, prismatic, and cylindrical cells. And as this is not finally clarified, I cannot give you an answer how much the contribution additional to the fundings of months will be.
Okay, good. But is it fair to assume that your R&D spending of around 20 million in the last year that you had will decrease?
Yes, it will decrease because of the subsidies we get, and also, like I explained, depending on the cooperation. This really looks promising. If you have seen who is all in, names like SAFT, VARTA, ACC, BMW, and we're really talking with them to find their a clear perspective and a clear alignment to handle this in future. And it will decline.
Okay, perfect, thanks. And then the second one is on the orders. Follow up here again. You mentioned that you expect an improvement already in Q2. I talk about energy storage. And taking also in consideration your huge pipeline in energy storage, what could be the realistic assumption in euro million for orders in 2021?
There are so big projects in, and it's really depending A, if we get them, and B, when. But we have a clear target that we want to have a higher order intake like in 2020, and this is reasonable. But as I said, it's really depending. And as it's in Q3, Q4, you notice it's project business. Something can happen. There are some questions. There are changes in technology. Car demands are changing. And if you see all the influences, it can easily be that there is a further shift, but can also easily be just looking on the CO2 discussions we have, that we have a pull-in. So from today's perspective, I think it's fair enough to say, okay, if we would be more than happy to have 20 to 50% more on order intake on energy storage in 2021 compared to 2020.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, there is another question from Mr. Florian Fallschifter. Your line is open.
Sure. Two follow-up questions from my side, another follow-up to the IPCI. You talked a little bit about that you will place some of that into the solar business due to the experience, first turnkey solutions, but also in the laser. Can you talk a little bit about what that might have an impact on revenues and EBIT and overall the 70 million in Germany, but in total over 100 million, how this will be spread over the next years and how this will look like? More details here would be appreciated.
Okay. So maybe for clarification, we will put the employees in this structure of FBT, at least the biggest part of it, as long as it's not clear how it will be going on with the solar business. So these people will work and they will perform then hours and also developments in this FBT structure and will generate revenues. We have a clear plan, but this is also related to investments for further dry rooms and such topics. And as we have now just received then the fundings and we can now make this clear with the funding bodies and everything, this is still in preparation. So I cannot tell you actually, but maybe in next quarter we have a little bit more insights there, what will be the impact out of this one to the revenues in 2021. But for sure, if you just take the three-digit million and divide this by six, this is also our clear plan in this direction, that in all these 6 years of the funding, we will split this and we want to have this also furthermore in future. So this structure is not only for this IPCI project, this is also a clear task to have then a structure available further improving, also maybe then without fundings, but this structure is then really there to develop the technologies and the machines and processes for the future and be very innovative. This will be then the innovation body and structure for months of the future.
Okay, then hopefully we will get more insights in
yes.
3 months. And then my very last question, also follow up on the VW situation. So what stake would you consider to be reasonable to get out of these 240 gigawatt hours or out of these 6 plants, and when you expect that this will be finalized on the W side from the conversations you are having with them?
So maybe you know that also for Volkswagen internally, I think the announcement of Mr. Diess was a high surprise. All the structure is not really ready and has a clear plan how they want to handle it. So the communication we have with them is that they are still in the, let's say, finding phase. The higher hierarchy levels of the purchasing has no clear picture about the overall 240 gigawatt hours. And also really good here, Grob is very deep in. They did very good business in the past with Volkswagen. They have a very good structure and key account structure here. They are really valuable supplier and highly appreciated from Volkswagen side also due to the, let's say, assembly lines they have built up for the electromotors. And we know that the first project will be Salzgitter, and as we already quoted for this one with Northvolt, you know this change between Northvolt and Volkswagen for Salzgitter, and actually the plan is to have a decision there Q4 2021, Q1 2022 for this fab there. But also here it's still discussion about technologies. Will their set folding be in? Will it be lamination technology? Size of cell is not finally decided. We are doing tests with them. So Also this one, yeah, could be a pull-in, because for sure they need to have the cells, they need really to have them ready for their serial cast production. They want to have them out of Europe, and I think this is the really good news of the statement that they made in this at this point in time, that the dependency out of Asia is much too high, and compared with the IPCI fundings, I think this is really a good story and is really promising for companies like Manz and our partners we have in the structure to play there a significant role.
Okay, so coming back to your earlier statement, the 1-2 wouldn't include VW, and if it's free, so your wish, your
yes.
Christmas wish for this year, this would then be the VW and Salzgitter, but additional orders might come if you also get the other, some of the other five projects.
Yep. Could be interpreted like that, yeah.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, and have a great day. Cheers.
Yep. Thanks, you too.
Okay, then the last question comes from Mr. Thomas Schissler. Your line is open.
Hey, thank you for taking my question. Hello, gentlemen. It's a question on your cooperation with Grobwerke. I wonder what will be the consequences for your organization to cope with the new cooperation with this company. Do you have to hire new people? Do you need a new production assembly lines in the future? This would be my question on Grobwerke.
Mm-hmm. So maybe for sure we had a very deep dive, let's say, with Grob, and also very intensive communication before, as at least both company on the first view look quite similar. If you have a second view, it's not the case. They're coming out of machinery business. They have a very deep supply chain and really own production force. They do sheet metals themselves, painting. So the deepness of their production is much more deeper than the Manz production. We are really concentrating on assembly technologies. They are much more related to productions, and therefore it's a huge fit. Now, the other topic is also related to engineering. They have really good experience in installing and ramping big lines in automotive industries. They are really keen for that one. They have the sources for that one. We have 8,000 people, and the background why we did this with Grob is clearly what is coming now. Even if we would like to invest in structure and people, you will not be able to get these people in right time and also in right qualification. This needs now to be established out of such a cooperation. The structure needs to come together, and the real benefit is that there are capacities available on Grob side due to the change in mobility. So this turnaround is also a problem for them at the end of the day. And if we then just take the example from Volkswagen, if such a line is coming up with 10 to 15 different process steps and related machines on gigawatt scale, Manz itself cannot handle this alone, but we can handle this with a partner like Grob, and we have a clear roadmap and we have a clear understanding of the product portfolio, who will do what, and also we will cooperate with them in regards of the IPCI project, because also there you cannot really do everything, and the clear strategy of Manz is to build up our know-how on our USPs. They are clearly identified, and the rest to share this with partners who are able and capable to handle also developments and engineering tasks out of this project. And therefore, Grob is really a 100% fit cooperation, and the communication is very open-minded, very trustful, and with the, let's say, the door openers on both sides, much more related, let's say, to the new businesses, to the new companies coming up, and Grob related really to the automotive industry as an over 90-year-old partner of all the German and European automotive industry, but also in North America. This is in also in the sales area a really perfect fit. I cannot name it different. And that's the setup, and that's why we do it. And internally, we think in the beginning we don't have a need to increase our structure to invest there further, at least not in the next 1 to 2 years with this corporation, and then we will see how big and how big the part of Manz and Grob will be in the future, and if there is then a need to increase production capabilities.
And revenue split is defined, I guess. So you get your revenue share from your deliveries to the combined customer, and they will get their revenue share from their you know, services and their machinery they deliver to the customer.
As I said, the production portfolio is clarified. There will be one company always in the lead, so it's defined before we place the offer, who is in the lead, if it's Manz or if it's Grob. And if it's Manz, all also related revenues from Grob will be passed through Manz. And if it's the other way around, we will get then a subcontract from Grob. But all terms and conditions, all these topics are already clarified and structured.
Wonderful. Thank you, gentlemen, and good luck.
Thanks.
Okay, there are no more questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask a question, please press 9-star on your telephone keypad.
Okay, if there are no further
questions.
Okay, then thank you. If there are no further questions, I would like to thank you for your participation and for the really interesting questions. I think we are really on a good way. This is reflected in our numbers as well, in the strategy we have defined. It's clear focused, and it's an interesting market, growing market, and Manz with its technologies and corporations can play there a real important role for the future of the German and European automotive industry as a really reliable partner. And we are looking forward to keep you updated then in 3 months with our half year numbers. Thanks a lot for your time. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.